Welcome back to the Overcoming Low Self-Esteem podcast. If this is your first time checking out this podcast, I highly encourage you to stop listening to this episode, go back to episode one, and then work your way up. Not because I need the hits or the plays or the downloads, but because it makes sense to follow this journey from the beginning. But if you don't have time or you just don't want to do that, then I also encourage you to go back one episode, as we are in a two-part discussion on depression. So please, if you haven't listened to part one, please go back and do that before listening to this episode. If you have not done so already, please subscribe. Please give us a 5-star rating, and please share this podcast out with the world. We want to be world changers, and we can't do it alone. So please subscribe. Please keep us in your thoughts as you're giving us a 5-star rating. Please leave a comment, and please send this out to the people you love, the people you think who would benefit from it the most. So like I said earlier, we are in the second part of our discussion on depression. I'm hoping to wrap this up in this episode. So I just wanted to get back into that discussion, dive a little deeper into depression, what it looks like, what it sounds like, and some recommendations from me. That I found that has helped me. If you heard me say this in the first episode, I am not a licensed professional. Therefore, I cannot diagnose you. I cannot prescribe anything to you. But I do understand, and I have worked with and coached a lot of people who have been diagnosed with clinical depression. And this isn't a game. I think we as a society take depression sometimes as a joke, or we take it lightly, but there are individuals out here who are suffering every day. So I do encourage you not to self-diagnose. I do highly encourage you to find a licensed professional. And just like we get our bodies checked, your mind is also part of your body, and we shouldn't ignore that major piece because it fuels everything for us. So I wanted to briefly talk about some of the symptoms of depression. And before we get into the symptoms, I wanted to give you all a different definition. Last time I said a condition characterized by a low mood, which is accurate. That is what depression is. And now we're going to dive a little deeper, because I feel that some people have a low mood for a day or two, and then they think, oh, well, I suffer from clinical depression, and that's not necessarily the case. So the symptoms of depression are characterized by an overwhelming feeling of sadness, isolation, and despair that lasts 2 weeks or longer at a time. Depression isn't just an occasional feeling of being sad or lonely, like most people experience from time to time. Instead, a person feels like they've sunk into a deep, dark hole with no way out, and no hope for things ever changing. Think about that part for a second. A person feels like they have sunk into a deep, dark hole with no way out and no hope for things ever changing. So remember, I talked about not self-diagnosing, because some of us have a sad day, sad couple of days, and because we want to have a pity party or woe is me moment, we say, oh, I am depressed, and we start kind of overcompensating that. We confuse sadness for depression, and that's not necessarily the case. If you haven't felt like you've sunk into a deep, dark hole with no way out and with no hope of things ever changing, then we should probably stop, not stop using the word depressed, because that's still a word in our language, but we should stop diagnosing ourselves as clinically depressed. Again, that is something for a licensed counselor, a licensed professional to do. So what are the symptoms of clinical depression? A person who suffers from a major depressive disorder, sometimes referred to as clinical depression, must either have a depressed mood or a loss of interest or pleasure in daily activities consistently for at least a 2-week period. This depressed mood must represent a significant change from the person's normal mood. Social, occupational, educational, or other important functionings must also be negatively impacted by the change in mood. For instance, when a person who's depressed starts missing work or school, or has stopped going to classes or their usual social engagements. So just diving in a little deeper, giving everyone a deeper, more concise understanding of clinical depression. Again, that's different from the depression we were talking about last week, but I do feel that a lot of us who suffer from low self-esteem also suffer from depression or clinical depression. Clinical depression is characterized by the presence of 5 or more of these depressive symptoms. A depressive mood for most of the day, nearly every day, as we said, for at least 2 weeks. Examples are feeling sad, feeling blue, feeling down in the dumps, or feeling empty, or observations made by others. For example, someone sees you as appearing tearful or always about to cry when it comes to children, because some of our kids aren't able to articulate "I'm depressed," but symptoms with them become irritable or cranky rather than just sad or moody. Another symptom of clinical depression is diminished interest or no pleasure at all in activities, no interest in hobbies or sports or any other things a person used to enjoy. Another symptom, significant weight loss when not dieting, or significant weight gain, such as a change of more than 5% in body weight within a month. Another symptom, insomnia, which is also something that I hear people self-diagnose. "Oh, I can't sleep, so I have insomnia." Again, please stop self-diagnosing. People hear that and they think that maybe you're like you're really diagnosed with something, and then they hear your symptoms and think, "Oh, I have that. I suffer from those same things too, so I must have that as well." And if you can kind of see the pattern and be self-diagnosed, then you could be spiraling out of control and you could be doing more damage than good. So again, please stop self-diagnosing if that's you. Another symptom, more days than not, problems with sitting still, including constant restlessness, pacing, or picking at one's clothing, or the opposite, a slowing of one's movement, talking quietly with slow speech, etc. Another symptom, extreme fatigue, tiredness, or a loss of energy, which we talked about last time, nearly every day. Even the smallest tasks, such as getting dressed or washing, seem difficult to do and take longer than usual. Another symptom, feelings of worthlessness, or excessive or inappropriate guilt, nearly every day. We're going to come back to that. I'm actually going to end on that. Another symptom, diminished ability to think or concentrate. Lastly, recurrent thoughts of death. not just fear dying, thoughts of suicide without a plan, or a suicide attempt, or without a plan for suicide. I don't want to get into suicide too much because I know that is a heavy and sensitive subject. If I was to dive into that deeply, I definitely would have a licensed professional on this podcast. But if you know someone, or if you are the someone who has thoughts of suicide or have contemplated suicide, and you haven't healed from those thoughts, you haven't healed from those demons, please, I beg you to stop. Please call. Please seek help. Please. There are other options. There are other ways. There's help is available. Or if you know someone, please get them the help. Please show them the love and attention and affection that they desperately need. So going back to what I said about what I wanted to really talk about, feelings of worthlessness. I have been there before. If you've been following this podcast, I've been open or somewhat open about a past relationship and the abuse that came from it. And abuse does, and we'll talk about abuse in this podcast, obviously. Abuse does lead to feelings of worthlessness. And I want to pour into you all because I remember being there. I remember suffering from that. I remember feeling like there was absolutely no hope. I remember feeling like there was no way out for me. And I felt so low in myself and so unworthy that nothing mattered. The abuse didn't matter. The weight gain didn't matter. The hair loss didn't matter. The depression or the depression states I was in didn't matter. The lack of self-care didn't matter. I went years without going to a doctor. I went years without taking care of myself properly. I would either overeat or not eat at all. I would either sleep all day or not sleep at all. And I remember walking around this planet feeling empty inside, feeling like nothing mattered and it was better if I just wasn't there. And if you're in that space, one, definitely reach out, but two, definitely seek counseling or professional help. But you are worthy. And I know that it has turned into a cliche in this society, but you are worthy. You have meaning. Your life has meaning. If not, you wouldn't be here. I am a firm believer of energy, of vibration, of frequency. I understand the law of creation and all these things that we'll probably get into later down the road in this podcast. But the universe or God or whatever you want to call it or believe in did not create you to feel worthless. It created you to be worthy. The stars didn't align. Your parents didn't get together and create you, birth you, raised you so you can feel worthless. And maybe your parents are the cause of it, or maybe, you know, you've been in horrible relationships or life just seems like it just won't give you a break. In spite of your circumstances, in spite of what may have happened in the past, you are worthy. You deserve life. You deserve a good life. You deserve a prosperous life. And you deserve everything that you've ever desired, every dream, every thought that you have had that has made you light up. You are worthy of it. So if you're feeling worthless, and we'll discuss that in an entire episode of the podcast, just remember that you are worthy. And if you can't find anything, there's a great book that I recommend called The Magic by Rhonda Byrne. And in The Magic, it teaches you how to be grateful and how gratefulness brings forth more things for you to be grateful for. It's a 28-day journey. Every day you do exercises, you read a couple of pages, and you do an activity. And I'm recommending this book, especially if you feel worthless, because it will show you that life has so much for you. It will make you sit down and do one thing every day. It's called Count Your Blessings, and you write down 10 things you are grateful for. And at the end of 28 days, and you're going through your notebook and you're looking at all your notes. So even at the end of one day, if you really go back and look at what you have written down, even if it's hard to find things that you're grateful for, being grateful adds self-esteem onto you. Being grateful adds worthiness onto you. I know that seems simple. That seems like something cliche, but I promise you, I've read the book at least 4 or 5 times now. And every time I read it and every time that I took the activity seriously, I have always ended my day or always beginning my day, whichever time I read the book, on a high note. Of course, life happens. Of course, life beats us down. But if you remember to be grateful for the things that you do have, then life will have no choice. This universe will have no choice but to bring forth to you more things to be grateful for. So this will end our discussion on depression at this time. I just wanted to give a quick overview because I know a lot of us who are going through this journey of rebuilding our self-esteem or in our low self-esteem, we suffer from depression. But if, as my friend and business partner Antonio says, if you can account for it, you can control it. And I feel that depression needs to be talked about. Not just for those of us who suffer from low self-esteem, but it is an epidemic. And the more we talk about it, maybe the more people will feel comfortable talking to someone about it. But thank you so much for tuning into this episode of Overcoming Low Self-Esteem. Please, if you haven't done so, please subscribe, please like, please give us a 5-star rating. Please share this podcast with the world. If you have questions, I love your feedback. If you have comments, if you have suggestions, please email us. You can find our email address in the show notes, but the email address is overcoming@theatsjr.com, or you can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/TempestSmith. Again, all that wonderful information can be found in the show notes. Thank you all again for tuning in to this week's episode, and we'll talk again soon. Bye-bye.